Father in heaven, we just praise and worship you. Thank you for God that reveals yourself to us. Thank you for God that reminds us by your presence of how much you love us and that you care for us, Lord. Lord, use me in my weakness that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The wisest man in the world said, Solomon said, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. Can anybody testify to the truth of that? Basically, that you should listen carefully before you respond to someone. I can remember a number of years ago, somebody came up to me and they were complaining about some things in the church. And usually I would get defensive. But when if you get defensive, where's your focus? On you. So by the grace of God, I just took my focus and I focused it on him. And I said to him, I said something very simple. I said, so you're angry. And he said, yeah, you know what happened to me at work this week? And he shared about something that happened that devalued him. We could have stayed on the surface and not had a very good conversation. But because we went a little deeper to the motives, to what was behind his feelings, we got to the real issues and we actually became closer as brothers as a result of that conversation. And so I think it's important that we go deeper in our conversation. It's easy sometimes for men to show anger, but really the issue is underneath it, it's fear or it's hurt. And so often we can have discussions, especially with our spouse, and if we stay at the surface level, we don't ever get to the real issues. We need to go deeper. We need to take that next step. And that's exactly what James does by asking this question, what causes fights and quarrels among you? So he's asking, let's look at what's behind it. And James, somebody said that the book of James should be entitled In Your Face. It's a very, very strong, you know, stomp on your toes in this sermon, and it's certainly challenging for me as well, but it's the Word of God. And the Word of God is active and alive, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So the Word of God goes to the heart, and it goes underneath the surface, goes to issues of the heart. So then the next question, James asks a second question. He says, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Desire is the key word, desires that battle within you. You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. And most Bible scholars feel that this is literal, that people are actually killing each other because of the conflict that they're going through. And James is saying, let's look behind the conflict. What's motivating you? You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Hey, there's a better way to handle your desires, and it's to ask God. But you have to ask God with the right motives. And, you know, I appreciate the Bible because it's pretty transparent. Here they're fighting, and it looks like physical fights, and it's sharing that. It's being real about what's going on in the church. But go to the second issue, the deeper issue of the motives, the desires that battle within you. And we have those desires, that selfishness within us that causes us to do all kinds of things. Now, I've been a pastor over 40 years. I've never had a physical fight in my church, and I don't plan to in the future. But it's sad. It would be really, and that was what was seemed to be going on in this church. And so here is a graph. This was a survey done. It came out Wall Street Journal and also University of Chicago. And to me, it's really sad because it's saying these are the things that are important to us. And notice that everything that is important is going down, not up. It reminds me of what Jesus said, in the last days, the love of people will grow cold. Cold. So all these different issues. And another one that's not on this list is tolerance. And you would think with all the talk about tolerance, but the people's importance of tolerance is also going down. Can you guess what the last one is? The only one going up. Money. Money. The only one going up. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And so here there's James is saying, go to God, ask God for your needs, trust God for your needs. And when we think about rich, Vivian had this slide in her present, in her sermon a few weeks ago. And just to know, we are up there, we are in this top 8%. Most of us are in that top 8% of wealth. And so we have to know that in the U.S., probably money and pleasure are the two things that causes Christians to become lukewarm. Money and pleasure. Again, I might be stepping on some toes, but I'm just kind of speaking what the gospel says here. And so it says, let's read this together. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it's to no purpose that the scriptures say he yearns jealousy over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? Adulterous people, using the whole image of marriage and adultery, that's a very powerful image. You're adulterous people. Friendship with the world is what? Hatred towards God. Another very powerful word. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Now, when we think of the world, you know what I think of? I think of people out there trying to get other people addicted on purpose. I think of people scamming the elderly. I think of sex trafficking. I think of all these evil, I think of the hatred in the world, the prejudice now, the growing prejudice towards Jews. You know, all this stuff, that's the world. Why would we love the world? You know, you heard what Doris shared about the love of God and feeling the presence and love of God. That's our God. Why would we want to hurt him? Why would we want to be friends with the world and not friends with God and closer to God? Viktor Frankl, who wrote that great book, Man's Search for Meaning, said, when a person can't find a deep sense of meaning, they distract themselves with pleasure. Let's read this passage now. But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So the first thing here, it's talking about, okay, really, the whole sermon series is about overcoming all these things, overcoming self-deception, overcoming favoritism, overcoming dead faith, overcoming the tongue, overcoming worldly wisdom. What do we say at the end of every service? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have this victory. That's scripture. We have this victory. So James is saying, this is how you walk in this victory. This is what you do. So how do you overcome worldly desires? Right here's the formula. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Why do you think God hates pride so much? Do you think pride has ever destroyed a marriage, a family, a business, a home? That's why God opposes the proud. Powerful sermon last Sunday by our bishop that if God is for us, that God is on our side, that God is for us, but he opposes the proud. Obviously, there's an issue of pride that's going on in this church, But, you know, that's an issue that we all struggle with, the pride. And so God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. I believe one of the reasons Doris was touched is because she's a humble person. She's just open to the Lord. So we just need to be available to God and say, God, here I am. Submit yourselves to God. Submit yourselves to God. Now, what does this mean? Last Sunday, we had people in our joining our church say they accepted Jesus as their Savior and Lord. What's it mean that Jesus is your Lord? Does that mean you give up all your rights? A lot of issues in the church would be settled if we really got that. Do you have a right to be married? Do you have a right to sex? You give up all your rights when Jesus is your Lord. He owns everything. We commit everything to him. We surrender everything to him. I try to say every once in a while, Lord, I'll go wherever you send me. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'll give everything away. I'll sell everything I have. Now, would I need the grace of God and the strength of God to do that? But just to be able to pick up and to deny ourselves and to submit everything to Jesus, just to submit to him. So submit yourselves unto God. And I think that there's an order that's important. You submit yourselves unto God, and then you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have to be aware that there's a demonic forces of evil. We don't battle powers and principalities. A lot of what's going on in the world today is demonic. And I really appreciated what our speaker is going to share and how he said the enemy is in a rage. All these millions of Muslims coming to Jesus, the enemy is in a rage. But we have to realize that there is a battle there against the enemy. That part of what we battle is the enemy tempting us, the enemy trying to work in our life, the enemy trying to destroy and kill. But we have to submit to the Lord and then resist the enemy. And what's the next step? Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Sometimes it's just amazing to me to think about God waiting for me to come to him. Do you think he's waiting for us to come to him? He's there waiting for us to come to him. And then we're just maybe too busy waiting for us to come to him. Come near to me, and I'll come near to you. What a wonderful promise from our God. So, how do we overcome these worldly desires? Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Not very encouraging words. I kind of wish I hadn't been picked to preach this sermon. But anyway, change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. What was key to the move of God at Asbury? People getting up and saying, I need to repent. I need to change my life. I need to confess publicly things going on in my life. I'm thankful for Vivian and Doris being able to pray for people today. Just love to see more of the Holy Spirit being poured out. I want to see more people healed, more people set free, more people coming to Jesus. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. So I want to be as open to the Holy Spirit as I can be. Because God opposes the proud. Opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So to repent, just to take time to cleanse ourselves, wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. To use our confession every Sunday to really make use of that time of repenting. And then, this is kind of a follow-up to my sermon before about using our words. And the law here, earlier in James chapter 2, it says, if you really keep the royal law in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But here, brothers, sisters are speaking against each other, judging each other. And Jesus, John 13, said, I give you a new commandment. What's the new commandment? Love one another as I have loved you. And then he went on to say something very radical. He said, this is the most important way for you to connect people with Jesus, that you love one another. More important than the kind of style of your worship, any building that you worship in, any particular strategy that you use, any outreach. What's the most important thing to show people that Jesus is real? The way we love each other, the way we care about each other. That's the most important thing. That's one of the reasons I'm a Christian, is because of the love I felt among some college students. More important than any communication skills, building, outreach, the authenticity of our love for each other. So, simply submit to God, resist the enemy, and he will flee from you, and draw near to God, because he will draw near to you. Father, we thank you for your promises in your word that are true. Lord, show us what we need to submit to you right now. Anything we need to submit to you. We've not given up control over this area. We want to give up control of this area to you. Lord, whether it be our finances or relationships, our future. Let us just surrender our control. Let us submit everything to God. And Lord, show us how to resist the enemy. We thank you that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And thank you for God that makes this promise to us. Draw near to God because he will draw near to you. Lord, may we draw near to you, Lord. Thank you for how you're offering yourself again to us in the Eucharist today. May we receive and draw near to you, Lord. Thank you for the way you work in such a powerful way. As we open, come up in faith, believing that you're going to give yourself to us again in some unique way through the bread and through the wine. So we just surrender our lives to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.